You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
Hi, I'm Jody the Mom.
And I'm Dr. Bar the Doc, and this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk healing all things pans and pandas with a special emphasis on homeopathy. And we are getting to the end of our absolute basics of homeopathy before we start diving into nitty-gritty details and then inviting a lot more guests and stuff to come on to share aspects of expertise that we don't have that we think is important for you to take into consideration with your healing journey. And one of the things that I wanted to make sure that we just really talked about today, Jody, before we dive into lots of other aspects, are obstacles to healing. We've touched on them in a couple of other episodes, but I just want to make sure we have a conversation just about what they are and like why this is an important concept in homeopathy. So as always, is there any context that you would like to give with our listeners before we dive into the meat of the conversation?
I think that these things are great for anybody getting started with, and not even just getting started, but anybody doing anything, because there are so many of us that have been working through healing, going, you know, doing our thing, and then we find like something pops up and it's like, oh, this is why it's getting worse, or oh, this is why homeopathy hasn't been working for my kid like it is for other kids. Like, we discover this. So I think this is such a good like ongoing conversation to have around looking at those other areas and just like kind of checking up on things.
Yeah. So I think that one of the things that is that the way I conceptualize homeopathy when I'm talking to peers and colleagues, and even when I'm talking to the community, is that homeopathy isn't just about the remedies, right? That's a big part of it, and it's an important part of it. But really, if you look at homeopathy, it really encompasses two things, right? So it is removing obstacles to health and stimulating the body to heal. The remedy is the stimulating the body to heal. We have to do the other part, which is the removing obstacles to health too, right? And it does get a little bit messy, because with pans and pandas, some of the obstacles to healing are also related to the stuff that homeopathy can help with. So there is intermingling of obstacles to healing and just healing in general with the stimulating healing. So it's not like you have to remove all of the obstacles and then stimulate healing. You can start stimulating healing to help with removing some of the obstacles. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when we say removing obstacles, we're basically talking about removing things that anybody in general, like anybody period, would have a hard time being their healthiest, optimal self with the presence of. Okay. So another way to look at this, instead of removing obstacles to health, is that we're just establishing the foundations for health, right? So you can look at it, it's both and, right? So it is both removing any obstacles and establishing the foundations, because sometimes the foundations just were never there in the first place. So this includes things like making sure you have a healthy diet, not a specific rigid diet, not a therapeutic diet, but just a generally healthy diet. And that could also include healthy ways of relating to your food, which might mean the occasional not so healthy, quote unquote, healthy treat or splurge, because we don't want to have rigid thinking, because rigid thinking and learned patterns of thinking can also be obstacles to health. And so a healthy diet, and really what I would say instead of a healthy diet, I would say a healthy relationship to food. And I think maybe I should just start shifting the way I talk about that, like just light bulb moment while we're talking right here. Yes, a healthy diet, but more so a healthy relationship with food. Wow. Is one of the things that we really want to have as an established foundation for health. Physical movement, exercise, light, fresh air, a clean living environment, a good foundation for sleep. These are things that we want to make sure that we have across the board. And I'm really excited because we've got some guests coming up to talk about some of the things that can be really important to think about when it comes to some of these obstacles to health. And so the reason that these are important is because without these basic foundations of health, or with obstacles to achieving these foundations for health, homeopathy is just going to have a lot harder work to do when you're trying to stimulate healing, and it's only going to get so far. And so we bring this up because you can see healing, like I said before, with you can stimulate healing while you have obstacles to health present, and you will probably reach a point where healing seems to pause or slow down substantially, and you can't get past a certain point, and you're like, what's going on? There's probably an obstacle to health that has occurred. I'm going to pause, Jody, because I want to make sure I'm being really clear, or if you've got any insights to share.
I think just because I know parents are probably like, okay, what does this look like? How am I applying this? How am I applying this to a PANS child? And for us, what that looked like, and I just kind of stumbled into it because of my younger daughter's health problems, kind of doing small things before we started homeopathy, even though it wasn't necessary to do them before, but I had these small things that I was doing to try and help my younger daughter that at the time I didn't realize I was also helping Avery, because it was those basic obstacles, like removing all of the candles out of our house, removing plug-ins, working my family in the direction of eating healthier foods and balance, making sure, you know, we're getting good vitamins, minerals from our food, sleep patterns, getting sleep patterns down, just the basic, like everyday simple life stuff. That was making sure that they were getting all of the, you know, basic necessities. Yeah. And then I know there's like the other big stuff that we'll talk about here in a minute.
Yeah. So the main things that we are looking at again are making sure we've got a healthy diet. The reason we need that healthy diet is a good, an important foundation for health when you're using homeopathy is because you want to make sure that you've got the building blocks for the body to do any of the repair work that it needs. So it's got the nutrients that it needs to support the immune system or to replenish itself if it's fighting off an infection in the body's, and it, you know, you've got that stimulus from the homeopathy to appropriately fight an infection, and it's going to need the nutrients that help when the immune system is ramped up in the appropriate way. You need the proteins and the fats and everything like that to feed the processes, all the biochemical processes that go into healing and recovery. And so if we are lacking in nutrients, then the homeopathy can only go so far as it's, you know, stimulating healing at that cellular level without the blocks that it needs to actually build upon. Same thing with just with movement and physical activity. Those things change our biochemistry, and we're meant to have certain amount of, you know, enough time outside in sun and fresh air, moving our bodies. And if we don't do that, we start to deteriorate and decline. And so there's only so much that homeopathy can do if we are capable of doing those things and not doing them to the best of our ability. Both diet and exercise and physical activity and willingness to go outside are things that can be part of the overall susceptibility too. And so we can't, like if a kiddo is in a big flare and they're really struggling and they can't leave their house because they've got really bad OCD, and they have ARFID and they can't eat other than like 10 foods because they are afraid they're going to die, and they will absolutely not eat anything except for those foods. And if you give them something else, they will rather starve than eat those foods. That's where homeopathy can come in to improve acceptance of these things that our bodies need from us. And so the reality is that some of the things that are obstacles to healing can feel overwhelming to people because it's like, well, my kid can't do them. And if your kid literally can't do them, then it's part of their susceptibility. And using homeopathy can help nudge them, because the reality is a healthy body is drawn toward healthy foods. A healthy body with a healthy relationship with food is drawn toward healthier foods, is wants to get up and move, doesn't feel well if they're sitting still for too long, if they have too much time on screens, if they don't get any fresh air or sunlight. We are drawn to doing those things when we feel better. And so I've seen lots and lots of families that no intervention other than homeopathy was needed to help get to the place. And then they on their own started removing these obstacles to health once they had enough like internal capacity to do them.
Yeah. I think that like as I was saying that and then you started to talk, I was like, you know what? I had all of those things really good, and then like everything in order and you know, any obstacles I felt like I had addressed. But then when Avery had her onset, it's like so much of that went backwards and the mm-hmm. eating became affected and she was terrified of bugs. So she wouldn't go outside. So we weren't getting fresh air. We weren't getting sunlight. Like her sleep pattern went just absolutely haywire. And I feel like this is one of the really cool things about a homeopathy, because so many parents come in concerned about, well, do I have to change the diet? Like my kid will not do this. And I feel like with homeopathy, we kind of like, with our PANS kids, we have to do it in reverse order. If we've done everything we can to do the dietary stuff and it is just a full-on symptom, that we can start with homeopathy. And homeopathy helped reduce the inflammation. Everybody's working well. And it's like we were able to get back to the nutrition. We were back to the sleep pattern. We were back to, like, it helped us get her back to all of those things like a normal child would experience them.
Yeah. And one of the things, I mean, you've shared many, many times in over the course of our podcast and in our Facebook group that things were slower going at the beginning with Avery, and then things started to improve. And if I recall correctly, once she was doing well enough that some of her obstacles, or that she was able to confront some of her obstacles and do some of that removing, that really started to help. That's also when things started to improve better. So I don't think that it's just that, like, we had this magical remedy. I think that it's, we made enough progress that she was able to start removing some of the obstacles, because the pathology part related to those obstacles was improving. So we could get outside, we could eat more foods, we had better food acceptance and sensory sensitivity to foods as well.
So
another, you know, sleep is another one. And again, sleep can be part of the pathology, and it sometimes is not. There can just be like things related to breathing. There can be like other obstacles that we'll talk about with a guest in a couple of episodes from now, about some really important obstacles to think about with sleep and breathing. And so there are some things that can be important there, but obviously sleep is important for healing, because that's where our body does so much of the repair of the immune system. And that's where the lymphatic system gets turned on as well. We're sleeping. And so that's where a lot of hormones are sort of rebalanced and shifted. And so sleep is just vital for so many things that we need in recovery. And so finding a way to improve sleep is absolutely vital. So looking at the things that are lifestyle contributing factors. So things like screens up until the minute you go to sleep, screens to help you go to sleep, stimulating activities that are, you know, not really promoting production of melatonin in your brain with the lights from the screens, and just too many things that make our bodies think that it's still daylight. Not getting enough sunshine, especially early in the morning, to help with the cortisol melatonin balance. All of these different things. So there's a lot of things that can be lifestyle contributing that are obstacles to healing that are not necessarily about the pathology, but there can be pathology related to sleep as well.
Oh, screens. The bane of a PANS parent's existence, the whole screen fight, because I feel like all of us as parents have done this like study with our kids, where the more they're on screens, the more struggle. And this is in PANS and this is out of PANS too, that it's such a hard thing. And so many of our kids have this extreme obsession. And again, going backwards to say, like, sometimes homeopathy is the thing that helps get us out of that. Like with Avery, she was screen obsessed, but homeopathy was able to help us get out of that. And so many things improved with getting away from the screens.
And we need to be cognizant of for ourselves too, right? And because we sometimes the obstacle is what we're doing and what we're demonstrating for our kids. And, you know, we don't want them on screens, but we're on our screen telling them to get off of a screen. So just having conscientiousness around that. And so then the other things, we've done whole episodes about them, about specifically with nutrition and diet and food. That's episode 20. You can check that out. The other one, another main one, is mold or having a clean, healthy living environment. So I'm not going to dive into that here, because we both have an episode on basics with PANS and mold. And we have a couple of experts actually coming on to join us as a guest to talk about mold and how to navigate that with PANS and PANDAS and mold in your home. So mold can be an obstacle, but it's one of those things, again, that is both, right? So it's both an obstacle to healing and it's part of the susceptibility because we have different reactions to mold. And so we can still address our reactivity to mold and in fact need some amount of mold present to be able to see what the triggers are and like what the response is to its presence. And we will only get so far if we're still living in mold. So remediation is important and making sure it's good, clean remediation. And then the other thing that can be an obstacle to healing is the way that we think about things or learned behaviors. And this is where therapy can become helpful for people and can help really like make leaps and bounds when we get stuck in some of the ways that we're thinking. And so that's one of the ways that, like I've said that I'm going to stop saying healthy diet. Instead, I'm going to say healthy relationship with food, because we can get stuck in like orthorexic thinking where everything has to be super quote unquote clean. And we have to eat clean and we have to avoid these things and we can't ever have this. And if we have any of these things, things are going to go downhill, but then we're human and we splurge and we have a thing and then we go way overboard because we've got this, like restrictive way of thinking or relating to it. Similarly, if you're in a situation where like you are in an abusive relationship, you're only going to heal so much while you're in an abusive relationship. You need to get, you know, you can heal enough to get out of the abusive relationship, but unless the abusive relationship, like the abuse stops, you're still going to suffer and like have the, what anybody would deal with when they're in an abusive relationship. And that can be an abusive work relationship. It can be an abusive relationship with a partner, with a friend, with a family member. And so sometimes removing yourself from relationships can become important because the relationship itself can be an obstacle to healing. It doesn't mean that it has to be a permanent removal, especially in like familial relationships. And I know this comes up so much in PANS. We talked about it a little bit in our PANS on family episode, which was episode 30, the PANS and extended family and friends, that you can have some relationships that no longer feel supportive and healthy. And so it could be a temporary removal while you are able to get some healing done and that you can come back in a place where you have more effective communication. And then finally, there can just be learned ways of thinking. And this could be to the extent of like a personality disorder where there are learned responses as a result of trauma, that helping to learn and identify what our feelings are and how to respond to them, or even much, much subtler versions of that where we've learned, again, orthorexia comes to mind, where we've a learned way that is like supported in society, like this is great and this is the ideal, but it's also very rigid and not helpful for allowing more healing to occur. Those can sometimes be beneficial to be addressed. So if you're getting stuck with your healing, these are some of the areas that you could look at. I'm probably missing some, but these are like some basics to consider. And you can always talk to your provider that you're working with about obstacles to healing. So the bigger picture here was just to make sure we really understand that there are several things that that homeopathy can be very helpful for, and where that overlap really comes from, like setting those foundations for health and removing obstacles versus things being really truly pathology and where we need to stimulate the healing process.
Yeah. And you said it a second ago, I think if anybody is curious if, you know, how this applies to your family, it's never a bad question to ask your provider of, you know, could there be any obstacles? Like, talk to me about obstacles. What, like, just having that conversation with your provider. Pardon me.
Yeah. All right. So hopefully this was a really a good overview at the very least of obstacles to healing. Like I said, we've dove down a little bit more into the depths of the obstacles in a few earlier episodes, and we will continue to do so in episodes to come. And we just wanted to, like I said, set the stage so we know really where we're coming from, because the truth is there are certain things that homeopathy can't help with. And we will talk about that in two episodes. We're going to take a break from the Just Jody and I episode for our next one. So we hope that you'll come back to join us for our guest, Dr. Taylor Bean, who is going to talk to us about vaccines and PANS pandas, which is always an important question for parents to really dive into so they can understand how it impacts their kids and help them make really good informed decisions. So we hope that you'll join us for that one. And then after that, we'll come back and talk a little bit more about what homeopathy can and can't help with to set the stage for our next guest, who's going to talk to you about some of those things in a lot more detail. So we hope that you'll join us for our next several episodes. We're really excited about them. All right. Take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for pans and pandas throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.